This is The Fight Back, thefightback.org. April 11th, D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray went to jail along with 40 others, including six sitting council members. The group committed an act of civil disobedience when they sat down in the middle of the road outside the U.S. Capitol in protest over congressional interference and how the district spends its own dollars. Also on that day, a dozen activists were arrested outside the office of House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, who proposed cuts to the district HIV/AIDS funding as well as needle exchange program. The group, which included Mayor Gray and six council members, had received light sentences amounting mostly to no more than $50 fines. However, the AIDS activists who arrested around the same time for much the same reason, also at the U.S. Capitol, are facing more serious charges. This week, on the steps of the John A. Wilson Building, Matthew Kavanaugh, one of those arrested April 11th, called on U.S. Attorney Ron Machen to drop the charges against the AIDS activists.
This is Matt Kavanaugh. I'm with a group called Health Gap and D.C. Fights Back, a network of AIDS activists here in the District of Columbia. We are here today because in April, I, along with Antonio Davis, who will speak in a moment, along with nine other people, were arrested outside the offices of Republican Majority Leader Eric Cantor. You may remember that we were arrested the same day as the mayor was arrested. At that moment, Representative Cantor was in the middle of massive budget cuts to AIDS service programs across the world that we estimate would have cost 2 million lives, and he and other Republicans were proposing a budget that would have banned the funding of needle exchange here in the District of Columbia in a huge assault on people's health and public health here in the District of Columbia. For that reason, the mayor, the city council chairman, and numerous city council members all took action, direct action that day, and were arrested. Some of us, however, were treated very differently. We were arrested the same day, protesting the similar things, and you will see from the documents that we've been able to distribute that according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, they claim that all we did was sit down and chant. All we did was speak. And yet, unlike the mayor and the city council chairman, who were given a $50 fine and let go home, we have now been through 9 months, five court appearances, and three different prosecuting officials, each of whom has brought in new requirements, made new demands, and required new things. We are deeply worried that new policies under the U.S. Attorney Ron Machen are criminalizing dissent, and in fact, are targeting specifically those who can most least afford to be targeted and targeting those who are HIV positive. We're asking him to drop the charges.
That was Matthew Kavanaugh speaking at Thursday's press conference and protest outside the John A. Wilson Building. Antonio Davis was also arrested April 11th outside Eric Cantor's office. Davis, who is HIV positive, faces the possibility of spending 6 months behind bars for his participation in the nonviolent act of civil disobedience. In order to alleviate his pain and improve his appetite, Davis, who's from Philadelphia, has been prescribed medical marijuana by his doctor. Despite the fact that medical marijuana is allowed under D.C. law, Davis now faces the possibility of jail time for having failed his drug test. At Thursday's press conference, Davis had this to say.
My name is Antonio Davis. I am living with AIDS, and I am a member of ACT UP Philadelphia, an AIDS activist group. I work as a paralegal and as a counsel. I'm here because the U.S. District Attorney seeks criminalized dissent, punishing those who speak out. Last April, Representative Eric Cantor and Republican House planned to cut hundreds of millions of dollars of global HIV plans, as well as put a ban on funding for needle exchange planned here in Washington, D.C. I will not go into details because I am being prosecuted, but I will say that we were charged with unlawful entry. What can I say about that is that it was a non-violent protest to put awareness to the cuts that were going on. I remember the same day that Washington Mayor and much of City Council was arrested that same day protesting against Republicans' budget cuts, including needle exchange. But unlike the mayor, we were not treated fairly. We did not get a small fine and were set free. Instead, we were put through a ridiculous process demanded by the U.S. attorney, and now I am facing trial. With that trial, that gives me a maximum of 6 months in prison and a conviction that may and hindered my paralegal license as well as my adoption process. I have traveled back and forth from Philadelphia here numerous times, 5 times in different set promises by the government. I have done over 64 hours of unpaid community service at the request by the U.S. Attorney's Office. I'm here today and still here submitting to the U.S. District Attorney's letters from my doctor from Temple University Hospital HIV Comprehensive Program attesting that I am under her order to use marijuana as a resource to my health conditions. I have been diagnosed with AIDS, and because of my HIV status, I've also just been diagnosed with avascular necrosis, which is AVN. It's a bone, deaf, joint disease. I had a major surgery on my arm, on my shoulder just recently, and I have to have another surgery on my left arm as well as off of my hip, both of my hips. I take over 9 medications, and with that marijuana, it also gives me an appetite because I really don't have an appetite when I take up the 9 medications. Also, within the last 2 months, I have lost 20 pounds. Every other month, I lost 10 pounds, gained 2, then lose 10. I've been prescribed medical marijuana because it's the only thing that works for me in my health conditions. I've also been prescribed Percocet, which gives me a high side of strong side effects that just doesn't help me perform a daily life or do my natural work performances as far as employment. I do not use marijuana as a substance to get high. It's for the purpose of medication only for my conditions. In regards to what the U.S. District Attorney is doing, it is ridiculous because this was a non-violent action of freedom of speech in the first place. And some activists have agreed to stay away from the building and stay away from demonstrations and being rearrested, but still we're going through this trial process. And furthering, to give people living with HIV/AIDS a chance, I've been put through this situation, gained massive pain in my body, lost weight, but still on trial. It is hindering my health conditions as well as my mental health conditions as well. Let's be clear. I believe deeply in freedom of speech, especially when it affects the lives and the stakes of people living with HIV/AIDS as well as other protesters to fight against the right-wing policies to save lives. I will continue to speak out on these issues knowing that there are consequences, but the U.S. District Attorney acts unjust, and this should not be the policy of the Obama administration and must be stopped for all peoples in my situations. I ask that the U.S. District Attorney, Ron Machen, look at this case, talk to the prosecutors involved, look at the 64 hours of unpaid community service, look at the nonprofit work that we have done, look at my previous criminal records, which shows that I have no conviction, and look at over the last 10 months of everything that we've been going through as activists and as protesters and someone living with HIV/AIDS. I ask that he look in his heart to make a reasonable decision and let those entered into the pretrial services diversionary program or to drop the case and dismiss all charges against all protesters. And also to not waste the time of the federal budget resources.
That was Antonio Davis speaking outside the John A. Wilson building on Thursday. Davis, who's HIV positive and has been prescribed medical marijuana by his doctor, faces the possibility of a 6-month jail sentence for failing a drug test, which the government mandated after he committed an act of nonviolent civil disobedience. Joining us in the We Act radio studio to discuss the situation further is Matthew Kavanaugh, Director of U.S. Advocacy for Global for HealthGap Global Access Project. Along with Antonio Davis and 10 others, Kavanaugh was arrested April 11th outside the office of House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. Welcome, Matt Kavanaugh.
Thanks for having me, Pete.
Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk about this situation. It's quite interesting. A number of issues come up here, but take us back to April 11th.
So there's only so much that I can comment on since we're being prosecuted as we speak. But the basic elements of the case is that the prosecutor says, and this is their words in court, they say that we sat down and chanted outside the office of Majority Leader Cantor. We were arrested and we were charged with unlawful entry. Now, you guys may remember this is also the day that the mayor was arrested. This is a moment when we had the Republicans, led by Majority Leader Cantor, trying to push through a number of just really painful budget cuts, as well as denying the district its right to actually use even its own money and federal money to support needle exchange here in the district. So we saw global cuts, federal cuts, national cuts. It's why the mayor was arrested, why the council chair was arrested, and it's why a number of us decided to be involved in an action that day.
Talk about where we are in this country with regards to HIV and AIDS.
So today we've got a situation where HIV and AIDS has been off the radar for a lot of people, and yet not for many of our communities, right? Anybody living in the district knows full well that the epidemic continues to rage in the United States. And in urban areas across the country, you've still got huge rates, especially among gay men in the United States, especially among gay men of color. But also throughout in the district, we have a generalized epidemic in which people of a variety of sexual backgrounds, men, women, straight, gay, but you see it also especially in the less wealthy sections of this city, where we are right now, where most of us live, where many of us live. It's these places, not the centers of Georgetown, where HIV in the district is. And so we were saying, the mayor was saying, the city council chair was saying to Majority Leader Cantor, this kind of an epidemic has to be addressed, and you can't cut funding to this.
DC's position, its lack of statehood, is problematic on any number of levels, but when it comes to HIV and AIDS, the Congress preventing the district from spending its own money on needle exchange has cost lives.
And this is shocking. This is something that should be nationwide news, should be front and center. The Congress of the United States has in many ways, right, treated us like a colony and acted in that way. And one of the ways that they've done that is to prevent us from using money raised from taxpayers here, raised from us, district taxpayers, to actually do high-quality public health programs, which includes exchanging syringes, dirty syringes for clean syringes to make sure that we don't spread HIV. It's something that's been proven to work. You've got places like Vancouver, British Columbia, New York City, Seattle, where you've got proven studies that show massive, massive declines in HIV rates when you can make sure that people can get access to clean syringes, right? A harm reduction approach. And yet here we are in the District of Columbia. Instead of having massive declines, we've got skyrocketing rates over the last decade to the point now where we're finally getting some syringe programs in. There's a direct correlation there. Congress members' decisions to ban us from using our own money to get clean needles and to save lives has directly cost lives in the District of Columbia.
You mentioned D.C.'s situation is having a generalized epidemic, if I got your words right, when it comes to HIV and AIDS. What's the epidemic? Is 3% or 1%?
1% of the general public or more, and we're looking at a 3% rate in various parts, much higher than that. Yeah, or 3% across the board, higher than that in various places. So Ward 7 and 8 looking at 7% rates. Gay men in this city looking at rates even higher than that. There aren't studies that are any good of gay men of color in this city, but hugely rates even higher than that, right? Among people who use drugs in this city, high rates as well. We have, the reason why we call it a generalized epidemic is that we've moved out from subsectors of the population being, disproportionately HIV positive to a situation where everyone living in the district is at higher risk for HIV. We are a city dealing with HIV on a day-to-day basis. We all know someone who's HIV positive. We all know people that have died in the last decade. This is the kind of thing that's a public health emergency for the district.
And how well are we dealing with it in the district with gentrification and pushing people out who are the most vulnerable? Sometimes the quote-unquote progress that can be seen with demographic numbers may in fact be due to just pushing people out who are the most vulnerable. What's your sense of how well we are in fact dealing with the problem of HIV, treating people as well as preventing the disease?
You know, that's exactly right, Pete. And we've got a kind of couple of things to think about. So one is, you know, one thing that we know has been proven to prevent HIV is housing, right? And it's an interesting thing that we don't think about, right? We think about condoms prevent HIV. We think needles, you know, clean needles prevent HIV. But so too does having a place to make sure that you know where you're going to be able to sleep that night, to not have to trade sex for a bed, right? To think about those things. So stable housing has been shown, proven to be an HIV prevention mechanism. And yet in this city, we have an absolute affordable housing crisis. And in fact, there are over 600 people on a waiting list that's housed at Hosta here in the district, right? That is a waiting list of people with HIV who have no stable housing. That kind of thing is hugely impactful in the district. And as you were saying, that's only the people that made it into the district, put themselves on a list, and haven't just been pushed out of the district, right? Because so many people have been priced out. So many people are ending up, you know, very, very far away from their jobs, very, very far away, way out in the suburbs, away from affordable medical care, right? In the district, we have a couple of really great providers, but, you know, several of those providers that used to provide services actually in, you know, in the surrounding counties no longer do. And so you've got an epidemic that's not just the district, but is also kind of DMV-wide.
It's interesting that I think a lot of people associate wearing a condom with protection from HIV, but you're talking about housing issues.
Exactly. And so what you're talking about there is structural interventions, right, where you are disproportionately likely to be HIV positive if you don't have stable housing, right? And the reason is, right, that you've got folks that are making decisions that aren't necessarily the best for them that's based solely on where are they going to be able to live. So like I'd mentioned, you know, one is you've got folks across, you know, across the district who tonight are probably going to be pushed into trading sex for a place to live. And that's a kind of thing where you're, you know, if you don't have employment, which the district is facing huge unemployment rates, as we all know, right, you're more likely to be in that situation. And if you don't have stable housing, then you're more likely to be in that situation. And those are times when it's really hard to get your partner to wear a condom.
Matthew Cavanaugh, so these are some of the issues that you were raising as you sat outside Eric Cantor's office on April 11th. And while you can't speak too much to the case, I wanted to play the comments of Christine Campbell. She spoke with you outside the John A. Wilson building on Thursday. Christine Campbell is a third-generation Washingtonian and vice president of national advocacy and organizing for Housing Works. She was with you outside Eric Cantor's office, and here's what she had to say outside the John A. Wilson building Thursday.
Good morning. I am a third-generation Washingtonian living in Ward 6, and we are very happy that the mayor actually stood up to fight for our rights to be able to have control over our funds in D.C., and on the very same day on April 11th, these activists here did the same thing. I was there when they were outside of Cantor's office. I was there and saw that there was no violence. There was no property destruction. We were pretty much just standing up for our rights to make sure that district residents had the ability to govern and have pretty much home rule. So we are calling on the Attorney General to make sure that these charges are dropped and that these activists are treated the same way as our mayor was treated on that very same day on April 11th. Thank you very much.
That's the voice of Christine Campbell. You heard what she had to say. How is it she was there, witnesses, this is a nonviolent act of civil disobedience, you're facing prosecution, Antonio Davis is facing a possibility of 6 months in jail. This seems out of proportion.
It's incredibly out of proportion. So The U.S. Attorney, Ron Machen, is appointed by President Barack Obama. He serves under Attorney General Holder. He is has decided, for some reason, right, that we are to be targeted. He's done a couple of things. Number one, he's decided to charge us, you know, with unlawful entry instead of just dropping the case, right? This was a free speech case, very easy for him to just decide this is not worth government time to prosecute. Regardless of that, he also has decided in a very, very strange turn of events for me that we're going to require all people arrested in the District of Columbia, regardless of what you're charged with, apparently, to undergo 3 negative drug tests. Now, this is an incredible invasion of privacy. To say that because someone was standing up for their rights, because someone was they accuse us of sitting and talking loudly. Because, you know, if someone were doing that, the fact that they would have to be subjected to 3 negative drug tests is hugely, I would argue, inappropriate. And so we have one of our friends, Antonio Davis, who is also facing these charges. He's someone who's living with HIV. He's actually living with a full AIDS diagnosis. He's actually got something called avacular necrosis, which means that his joints are basically decaying because of AIDS-related reasons. And he's in a situation where he's already had his one shoulder replaced. He's going to have the other shoulder replaced. Both of his hips are going to have to be replaced. He has and has submitted to the U.S. attorney a letter from his doctor that says, you should be using marijuana to make sure that you're able to eat, right? And to cut off the pain, to make sure that you can keep on working despite being in constant pain. The U.S. attorney has said he won't even consider dropping the charges until Antonio violates what his doctor is telling him to do, right? Goes off of the use of medical marijuana, for which he has a letter. That's the only way that the U.S. attorney would consider dropping the charges. Other people in the same situation are kind of good to go. They're walking free, as is the mayor who wasn't asked to be drug tested. I'm very confused about the situation.
What do you suppose is the reason for the difference in treatment that you've seen from the mayor, council members? There was 41 individuals arrested that evening, and the disparate treatment that you've seen. Do you have any sense of why that might be?
Well, I think we're seeing an across-the-board push from this U.S. attorney for some reason to really crack down on activists, to crack down on people engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience. So people out front of the White House have also been charged disproportionately recently. I would argue, you know, that when you're the mayor and you're the city council chair, it looks very bad for anyone to charge you with anything. And so they got off on basically a parking ticket where it didn't, you know, the U.S. Attorney's Office said, no problem, you don't even have to come here, right? We'll just charge you under a separate thing and you'll get a parking ticket. For us, they've decided to take us through the whole system. Now we're in a situation where it's completely up to the U.S. attorney. There's a judge in the case who has said, this is ridiculous, why are you doing this? But he has even no control. It's completely the U.S. attorney, Ron Machen. It's up to him to decide whether we get to do what's called a deferred prosecution agreement, which is standard in a case like this. And yet, for some reason, he's denying it to us.
Do you think this could deter future activism?
I think that's absolutely true. And I think that that's honestly the intent. I don't know how you would understand this besides saying he's trying to make it as difficult as possible for activists in the city and as difficult as possible for folks who might take purely nonviolent direct action. To me, it's a really bad sign that we need to address.
I want to play the comments of Charles King, president of Housing Works. He said activists are not going to be deterred by this prosecution. He said a persecution of AIDS activists. He said, quote, anybody who knows anything about the history of the AIDS epidemic knows that every single progressive policy has happened because people were willing to take to the streets, because people were willing to engage in sit-ins.
For Housing Works to be here to stand up on behalf of these defendants, these folk who've engaged in civil disobedience. Housing Works is proud of the fact that we were actually born out of ACT UP New York, the first direct action group organized to fight AIDS. Anybody who knows anything about the history of the AIDS epidemic knows that every single progressive policy, all of the money, everything that has been done to get a handle on this epidemic has happened because people were willing to take to the streets, because people were willing to engage in sit-ins, because people were even willing to drop a condom over Jesse Helms' home. This July, the International AIDS Conference is going to be held right here in Washington, D.C. And I want to promise the U.S. Attorney that this aggressive prosecution, this persecution of AIDS activists is not going to deter us. We are planning to bring thousands of people from all over the country. We are planning to engage in civil disobedience because we want to see this epidemic come to an end here in the United States and around the globe. And we know that civil disobedience is a powerful way to make that happen. So my message to the Obama administration, to the Attorney General Holder, and to the U.S. attorney prosecuting this case is this is not going to deter us. If anything, this is going to galvanize us. We are going to be here this summer in force, and we intend to keep him very busy.
That's Charles King, president of Housing Works, speaking Thursday outside the John A. Wilson Building. Matt Kavanaugh, your response.
Charles is right. And I think, you know, one of the things that he says there, and I think that it's spot on, right, is that if you look at the history of HIV, but frankly, if you look at progressive social change in this country, it has come because people have stood up and said no. They've stood up and said, we're going to put sand in the gears of the government when it's doing wrong, or we're going to put sand in the gears of business when it's doing wrong, and we're going to stand up and demand that people come before profit, that people come before the needs of the right wing. And this is exactly what we're facing right now in this country. We see huge attacks on social services. We see the rich getting, you know, the income gap getting huge, the rich getting richer. Meanwhile, district residents and folks around the country living, especially those living with HIV, are falling farther and farther behind. And the only way I think we stop this is if the citizenry stands up, if we see people occupying throughout the country, whether it's, you know, McPherson Square and the Occupy movement there, or whether it's AIDS activists in the Capitol building. As Charles was saying, the International AIDS Conference comes to Washington, D.C. in July. That's something that happens every other year in a different city around the world, and this year it's coming to Washington, D.C. It's going to be a huge focus on the Obama administration, on the Congress, on both the Republicans and the Democrats. What have they done for people living with HIV? I think the president has some things that he can stand up and be proud of. I think the president has some other things that he really should be ashamed of. And so I think we're going to call those out, as well as calling out the right wing that is trying as hard as it can to make sure that we move as much money into the hands of the rich and as many policies that benefit the kind of tiny, tiny little 1% as we possibly can, at the expense of people living with AIDS, at the expense of people with cancer, at the expense of anybody that needs health care in this country. And that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. To me, it's deeply disturbing to see the U.S. attorney cracking down on nonviolent, non-destructive civil disobedience actions. That, to me, is a very bad sign, and I think we're only going to return kind of stronger afterward.
The International AIDS Conference coming to D.C. also may shine a spotlight on the district's HIV-AIDS situation. It's quite embarrassing to have an epidemic in numbers this high.
Absolutely. Here we are, as we all know, in the nation's capital, and yet official Washington seems not even to notice the district. It seems not even to notice that a stone's throw from the Capitol building, we have the highest HIV rates in the country. The fact that we've got right-wing Republicans overturning our intentions and, in fact, denying us the ability to exchange people's needles is outrageous. The fact that we've had such underfunding of programs is outrageous. And the fact that we've got such persistent unemployment and such persistent homelessness and joblessness among, you know, district residents, I think all of that's going to be highlighted in a context of a conference that's looking internationally. When we've got rates that are on par with, you know, a good chunk of the continent of Africa, then people are going to have to question what's wrong with our politicians. Why aren't they standing up and prioritizing the citizens of this of the district?
Do you have a sense of when your situation will be resolved?
Well, we're waiting to find out. So May 7th, Antonio and a number of other people are due back in court. I am, as we speak, deciding whether or not I'm going to be back in court or whether I'm going to jump through yet another hoop for the U.S. attorney and redo community service that we did. I spent a lot of time in the service of the community, so I have no problem with that, but they've required that we do 32 hours of community service and then decide that it wasn't good enough, and we have to do 32 more hours of community service with a different group, and back and forth and back and forth. They're trying to make this as hard as possible. I am hopeful that before we get anywhere near May, the U.S. attorney, Ron Machen, will actually step in, because what we've got is mid-level prosecutors who I think are making a horrible mockery of the system. And I'm hoping that he will get the message, the political message, from members of Congress, from district residents, from anybody that can call or email, and from our kind of activist space here, that this is unacceptable and that the charges need to be dropped.
Any final thoughts you care to share, Matt Kavanaugh?
You know, this is exactly the moment when, you know, in kind of in history where I think we make some decisions. We make some decisions about whether or not we're going to stand up and say no more, whether it's the right wing, you know, attacks on us, or whether it's people coming in sheep's clothing like the Democrats that are controlling, you know, both Congress and the city, I would say. the district and all of us have to decide, are we in the next few years going to step up and kind of take the reins of power here in the district and make sure that people living with AIDS, but also people across the district, have the power to actually keep themselves safe and healthy? Or are we going to see another generation of people living with HIV and another generation of people living in poverty? I'm hopeful that we'll kind of turn the corner in the coming years.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Pete.
We've been speaking with Matt Kavanaugh, Director of U.S. Advocacy for Health Gap Global Access Project.